to let you know, Christy and I will be away next Lord's Day, and a couple folks are helping out by taking my place or filling in for me. Clarence Ball has the Bible class hour next Lord's Day. Danny has the Sunday morning sermon, and then Chris has the Sunday evening lesson. So support them, if you would, with your attendance, your presence. I know they'd appreciate it very, very much. The notes this evening is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through the end of the chapter. It's kind of like I titled it The New You. That's part of the theme of the verses. Kind of like making New Year's resolutions. And I'll just use these that are listed in the text, rather than trying to come up with resolutions on our own or something that we need to strive to do or be. But I think all of us at one time or another have made resolves to try to improve ourselves in some way or to set goals. I know a while back I was thinking I want to get down to 180 pounds. Next year I said, well, let's just get below 200. Next year I think I said, I want to join a gym. And then the next year I think I said, well, I promise, I think I'll just drive by the gym once a week. At least do that. Resolutions. But there's the list that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. I think I put verse 20 in your notes. I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." And then he describes how the Gentiles walk. "In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Verse 20. "But you have not so learned Christ." There's our theme for this evening. What have we learned in Christ? Verse 21. "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore," here's the list, "putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." Verse 29. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And, verse 30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." That's quite a list of what we're going to call resolutions, or attitudes of life that we can take up and apply to our lives. But by way of introduction, we'll put a couple of things first. First of all, becoming new in Christ Jesus and how that is accomplished. Becoming a Christian. In Romans 6, verse 3, familiar verse. "Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Don't you know that? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's where it begins. New life in Christ Jesus begins when we're baptized. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature, newness of life. And that's what we're talking about this evening, the new you, the new me. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, we're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. So when someone says, well, how did you become the new you? Well, I was baptized into Christ Jesus. But then second, from this new beginning, because we don't want someone just to think, okay, that's good, that's all I need to do. I'm finished. My job is done. Don't expect anything more from me. No, now we need to grow in knowledge and faith. So 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, now that we've been born again, now that there's a new you or new us, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Requirements. So we want to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So now there's an expectation. Now that there's been a birth, we become a Christian. The expectation is let's grow, you'll mature in faith. Then number three, Roman numeral three in your notes from the text. Broke it down into several areas. You might even break it down into more parts than what I've listed here. Let's just go quickly through these. In verses 20 through 24, we have a new mindset. First, he says in verse 20, you haven't so learned Christ. And then he just gave the illustration of the Gentiles. You see what they're doing? You see how they behave? And he says, don't do that. He gives us a negative visual. So then he gives us the right kind of picture. But I know parents sometimes say when children misbehave, he said, yo, we didn't teach you that way. Sometimes when I had to go before my dad, the first thing he would say, Brian, you know better than that, you know, what you just said or did. Yeah. So when Paul begins here, he says, you have not so learned Christ the way the Gentiles were behaving and speaking. You know, so when you were and I were taught the gospel, we became a Christian by obedience, and we were taught a way to walk. Obligations. Verse 22, just a little reminder and kind of setting the stage here. Put off or put away the old man. Don't go back to what you were before you were a Christian. Let people know to whom you belong and on whose side you stand. It's a part of the new you. Verse 24, put on the new man. So having been saved by grace, and I put that in your notes, having been saved by God's grace, we've been created for good works. Sure have. So let's get busy and do those things that promote growth and increase faith and knowledge of God's word. Let's do those things. Put on the new man. Put into practice the way God wants us to live. Practice it. Verse 23, again on this new mindset, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When we make resolutions, part of the definition of that word, we need to be resolute in that. We need to be convinced or have confidence. This is my mindset. This is what I want to do. This is the direction I want to go. And then give it some effort. Sometimes they put gusto behind it. Do those things that you know what it takes to do to be successful in Christian living. Do those things. be renewed in the spirit of your mind. My mind's made up. This is the direction I want to go. My decision has been made. I'm on God's side. And I'm going to put into practice what I know, that the things that will help me be successful as a Christian. So a new mindset, number one, resolution. And then in the text itself, speak truth with his neighbor. You ever heard the saying, you can't tell just one lie? And he's not saying that we can lie to all the others except our neighbors. But he just said, don't lie to your neighbor. But he's in the admonition, and the resolution is, in our new you, live honestly. Make good your commitment. Make your word reliable. James 5:12 says, let your yes be yes, your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. We've heard the slogans all of our life, honesty is the best policy. So these are things that promote success in Christian living. Speak truth. And when you do that, you shouldn't have any, as the Holy Spirit says, any trouble remembering what you said. Speak the truth. But if you lie, say, oh, I forgot. How did I explain that? So speak truth. Number three, be in verse 26, be ye angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. He's not saying, okay, be angry now and then. He's saying, when you are angry, we will be angry. And when those times come, be sure not to commit sin. Anger is the time when sin strongly presents itself as a temptation to do wrong. We're angry. We're upset. Anger is not the sin. There are times and there are things that will provoke us to anger. We'll get that way. But he says, be sure when those times come, don't fall under the temptation to do that which is wrong. Then he mentions sundown is the time for removing anger from the heart. Anger needs to be removed or resolved or terminated rather quickly in this text. Because when anger remains, it corrupts virtue and corrupts things that are right. Because when the anger begins to smolder, the anger begins to settle in, and then we develop malice or discontent in our heart. And it begins to fester or boil. Those kinds of things. We see that in life. When people are just, oh, that's so angry. Let's get this resolved some way. He also said in the verse, in verse 26, neither give place to the devil. So don't allow any room for the devil's operations when you're angry. Number four is in verse 28. Steal no more, and labor, and give. So if you've been a thief in your previous way of life, don't do that now. Make the resolution. And criminals, thieves are welcome to become Christians, but you don't keep that same lifestyle. You put off the old man. You remember in the verse? You put on the new man. So I put your notes, you seem like people who are thieves, they take no regard for the possessions of others. It's almost like the attitude of might makes right. I'm stronger than you, so I'm just going to take from you because I can. Opportunity is here. But he mentions in the verse, let him that stole steal no more, but rather labor. Working with your hands, the thing that is good, so that you may have, and I always like to stop there. Yes, we labor and work so that we may gain or have. And then the verse continues, have to give to those in need. So as Christians, we need to think in terms of what we can give and not take. And that seems to be one of the thoughts of the verse in the comparison of the one that steals. No, we need to work and labor so that we give instead of take. Number five is in verse 29, no corrupt speech, minister grace. Christian speech, obviously, should be uplifting, gracious, give a soul-saving message. Our conversation many times should identify us again, as Christians, on whose side we stand, you know, to whom we belong. You can spend years building up your character in Christ, and just one slip causes others to question your allegiance. Years. And then one slip. So the resolution here, the admonition, this list of things that we want to do as being new in Christ Jesus, is to be uplifting and gracious in our speech, encouraging one another. Resolution. Number 6 is in verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The way that the Holy Spirit is grieved is when we don't practice the things that surround this verse, verse 30. If you put it in the context, there are things that happen when we don't think right or speak right or act right. It hurts the Godhead. I brought my thing of, oh, it causes me to groan. When we hear something bad that's happened to someone, we all go, oh, no. Oh, we just want to groan. Well, when we don't behave correctly, think in terms of God or God's Spirit groaning. Think, oh, look what my child has done or said. Grieves the Spirit of God. Just as parents or employers have expectations, and when children or employees don't measure up, it hurts us because we have an interest in them, in the family relationship. We have an interest in the company. And so when people shortchange themselves or haven't met the standard, we go, ah, it grieves us, hurts inside. Number 7 in verse 31, he just gives you a list of things to put away. Just one word after another, so I put just a very simple definition. Bitterness, and you can add to those definitions. Just a resentful disposition if you're bitter. You ever have, you know, something like a bad taste in your mouth? Bitter. Somebody says, put away bitterness, that bad taste in your mouth, in our relationships with one another, our attitudes. Anger, yeah, strong, sudden antagonism, explosive retaliation. Right. Anger. Wrath is just indignation, kind of like a roaring furnace. We don't see furnaces nowadays. When I was a youngster, we had a furnace in our basement. Boy, you had to put we had a coal bin in the basement. You had to stoke that furnace. Boy, you opened something when the fire was there, and you open that thing up, and or open up a hot oven. It's reached the degrees. It's 350 or 400. Time to put whatever goes in there, and you open that thing up. Well, that's what he wants us to put away. Wrath. It's that, wow, that blast that we in our wrath may give to others. And he says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Clamor is just yelling at others. Clang, clang, clang. Railing, I put down as blasphemy against God or against man. Speaking against someone else. Malice, I think of malice as taking delight in afflicting hurt or injury on someone else. We sometimes say, well, I've built up a good resentment and I'm going to exercise my righteous indignation and I'm going to have malice in my heart. No. No, be angry, but don't sin. Put away malice. Put away these kinds of things. And then he gives the positive side. So this is what the new you should look like. Be ye kind, and nothing blesses others more than ordinary kindness. You know, people can do what we might even consider the smallest thing, and we'll say, thank you. We respond to kindness. Everyone needs it. Be tender-hearted. So we say, yes, I care. How can I help you? Let me get that for you. What do you need? You know, it's an offering of assistance. Is being tender-hearted. You know, let me put salve on that wound. Tender-hearted. Forgiving. because we've been forgiven of wretched things. So I need to forgive others, especially if they've been wretched toward me. I need to be forgiving. So the close is, yes, start your spiritual course and remain steadfast. Make good your resolve. So that's the lesson this evening. I know I have the old expression, you're preaching to those that are probably already doing these kinds of things, but it's just a good reminder, especially it's just from the text itself. That I've taken the list that Paul has given in Ephesians chapter 4. So always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. It's an invitation for you to become a new you, if you haven't done so already. And as the point number one says, at the top of your notes, by being baptized into Christ Jesus. Being born again by being baptized. So that's the invitation we extend. And then once that takes place, then grow. Make good your resolve that you have. And we're here to help, to assist. Avail yourselves of all the things that promote growth and steadfastness. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us.